Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning, friends and neighbors. Good morning, fellow travelers. Good morning, whiskey junkies and discotheque rock and rollers. Good morning, ravers, holding on to your glow sticks, holding on to those decades that go boiling by. Good morning to the pirates. Good morning to the fishies. Good morning to the spaceships orbiting Neptune. It is Wednesday. That's hump day. It is Wednesday, April. April the 23rd. 2025 Bo Blimp Doc. It's right around 7:09 a.m. Indeed. So here is an A&W style Tendies Port Angeles style fortune prophecy, as determined by the ancients, given the situation between the United States and China vis-a-vis real or fake-ass trade wars. I'm going to read this anyways. Here's my fortune for today. And these fortunes lately have been just so fucking ironically stupid. This is perfect. Your hard work is about to pay off. Your hard work is about to pay off. It's kind of like, you know, walking into a labor camp someplace near Berlin in 1944, above the gate in German, is written the following. Your hard work is about to pay off. Build me another Panzerfaust. Build me another Tiger tank. Build me a Focke Wulf. Build that V2 for me and for you. We'll send those buzz bombs careening towards London. Your hard work is about to pay off. They feed you 1,100 calories a day. Because Wernher von Braun figured out you'd, you know, conk out in like 8 to 9 months. And then you go to the farm. Because your hard work is about to pay off, buddy. So, I don't know if this story's real or not. I popped up on social media, and a lot of the Trump mega nonsense pops up on social media as a feeler first, just to get a sense of the room. And then maybe it percolates into reality. But there was a proposed thing that Trump proposes that Papa Blump says, that if you have a baby, you get $5,000. A $5,000 check for every baby. You know, this is a interesting scenario. Think about the Octomom. Does she get 40 grand for having 8 bubba babies? 5 grand per baby. For every new mom after delivery. You know something? I don't know if this is going to happen. It has the ring of the whole $5,000 check because of the DOJ. A lot of stuff intended to keep people kind of focused on the wrong thing at a very dangerous point in their lives and in the lives of many. It's nonsense. It's smoke. But yeah, maybe there's going to be a baby check. You really think so, folks? another thing I saw on social media, and again, there are a lot of these accounts. I don't even think they're real, but they're certified, they're official. And man, do they have a lot of followers. And this particular account pushes the whole Israel good, Hamas bad, it's okay to kill a bunch of people. And this particular account proposes that, you know, if you had to kill 1 million children in Gaza, that would be okay. And if you don't agree with that, then you're some type of liberal or pinko or commie, I'm not really sure. The fact that there are people who, because I don't think this is a real person, by the way, but the fact that there are people who chime in who might be real and say to themselves, yeah, you know, those Hamas, those Palestinians, they're so terrible. Why don't we just kill them all? Wipe them all out. Wipe them all out. And it doesn't really require a lot of commentary, does it? Anyways, I got another link. I brought this up recently, and I'm not going to read either of these articles. I'll leave it up to you to think on it, but I'll give you a brief summary. If we are in the mode of bright siding at this point, which is to say that if we're in the mode of trying to come up with optimistic scenarios that are scenarios that one can almost believe and at the same time represent something connected to reality, then this is the scenario, I think. And it's kind of a refined version of what we talked about 5 years ago as a kind of a base case, the bank holiday, and what I've come to describe as stealth dollar collapse. Like, what if the U.S. dollar really did more or less vaporize in 2019, but we're all the last to find out? We get stupid articles about exploding cows and monkeys and pigs and chickens having herpes. We find out about anarchists with Bic lighters setting fire to the forests. We find out about a lot of nonsense about desert hijacking of Nike shoes. But what if a lot of this is just bullshit? Propaganda designed to cover up logistical failures in a crooked neo-Stalinist and collapsing hellhole. A giant imploding pancake sauce. That's your bright side. And in this scenario, a fair comparison, not exactly the same, but it rhymes, a fair comparison to your good friend Papa Blump would be Boris Yeltsin. And in the way that Boris Yeltsin, probably under the control of foreign agents, kind of managed the dismemberment of the Soviet Union, and to some extent Russia, because there are a lot of regions that were handed over, for example, under Khrushchev, regions that were formerly historically Russian were given to the Ukraine, under, of course, the idea that, well, the Ukraine is in the Soviet Union too, so who cares, right? So in a lot of ways, Khrushchev set up the conflict that would come later. Kind of like the British Empire with Pakistan and India, huh? It's almost like these stories repeat themselves, right? Like, we have the same old story, find yourself a straw man, find yourself an insider. So your bright side is that Donald Trump is our Boris Yeltsin. He's going to be the one that hands off the goodies to the oligarchs while it lasts. And it's entirely plausible there'll be some strong man freak that will take over after him. Well, gee, that seems to fit too, doesn't it? And J.D. Trance, he's a nice, mysterious guy. So if you're into bright siding, if you want to play pretend that it's not worse, because I think it's worse, I think that this scenario is no longer applicable. But if you want to play pretend, like this bullshit has so much more left in it, then there's your bullshit scenario. It kind of fits. I think it does fit a lot of the facts. You know, I think the American people would be almost the last people to know that everything is falling apart. And if you understand the extent to which people have been dumbed down, it's not that difficult to get past them. Remember 2020. Remember the arrows in the fucking grocery stores. And people are still wearing coffee filters on their faces. So yeah, I'd say the American people would go for it, whatever happened next. The difference is, I think as soon as the Boris Yeltsin and Trump starts really showing, I think things unzip. But in my belief system at this point, we are probably weeks away from things unzipping in a big way. So that all these conversations about scenarios to include upcoming elections are going to be pointless. Completely pointless. There is no reason to have that conversation at this point. If you think of shoes dropping, like there are two shoes, and we've talked about this before, you know, you live downstairs, you hear a shoe drop. COVID, 2020. The second shoe was probably Trump winning the election. And so both shoes have dropped. And one thing we're certain of is whatever's going to happen next is going to happen. That's where we're at in the game. So Trump is your Boris Yeltsin, if you want to be optimistic. A lot of what he's doing looks like the same kind of crooked shit that the CIA had Boris Yeltsin doing in the 90s. And then the only question is, who's yanking Trump's chain? And then the answer is, huh, I bet you can guess, can't you? Next topic. So, this article comes from The Hill, thehill.com. It was written by Elizabeth Crisp, and I'm going to drink a little bit of coffee here. This article was written by Elizabeth Crisp on April the 21st, 2025. Headline, Ron Johnson says he thinks Senate could hold hearings on 9/11 conspiracies. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, Republican, suggested in an interview released Monday that Congress could hold additional hearings on the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks and indicated he's been listening to long, festering, and debunked conspiracy theories about the government's alleged involvement. There are a host of questions that I will be asking, quite honestly, now that my eyes have been opened up, Johnson told conservative influencer Benny Johnson on his podcast Monday. Ron Johnson chairs the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations. He lauded the 2020 film, calling out Bravo 7, that questions the official story behind the collapse of World Trade Center 7, a 47-story office building that fell hours after the terrorist planes flew into the Twin Towers. Ron Johnson also called the National Institute of Standards and Technology, NIST investigation, corrupt. I don't know if you can find structural engineers other than the ones that had the corrupt investigation inside NIST that would say that thing didn't come down any other way than a controlled demolition, Ron Johnson said. There's an awful lot of questions, he continued. Who ordered the removal and the destruction of all the evidence? Totally contrary to any firefighting investigation procedure. I mean, who ordered that? Who was in charge? I think there's some basic information. Where's all the documentation from this investigation? This investigation found that Building 7 progressively collapsed from a prolonged fire that couldn't be extinguished because of water pressure issues after the building sustained extensive damage. Experts have repeatedly debunked efforts to link Building 7's fall to a controlled demolition. Oh, this is so stupid. The article's more or less over. I can't read more of this dumb shit. If you understand what Ron Johnson's saying, then imagine the situation of 10/7. And before you come, well, damn, it's an ongoing crime. Shut the fuck up. Our government uses RICO to investigate ongoing crimes all the fucking time. So yes, there are ongoing crimes in that part of the world. I'd guess a lot of it has to do with the IDF. But my specific issue is this. Who the fuck properly investigated 10/7? What the fuck happened to all that evidence almost immediately? And how is it with almost no real investigation, do you go from zero to dropping 40,000 tons of TNT on a footprint roughly the size of Dresden? That's what they did in the first month after 10/7. So even if you want to claim any of this bullshit is justified, how the fuck do you go from zero to 40,000? What proof do you have? What I saw from the pictures looked dumb. The fucking crew-served weapons on paragliders, that shit looked dumb. None of it was believable. But it certainly did set up for a giant land grab, a massive campaign of slaughter, and lots of people, like our influencers on Twitter, saying it don't matter if you kill a million kids. It doesn't matter. It's a homeowners association. It's our land. Didn't you read the fucking contract? It doesn't matter. I don't have any good evidence for what happened on 9/11. In retrospect, it does look questionable, the whole thing, but does it really fucking matter? It's kind of like the explosion on the Maine, the battleship. It was 1898, right? That started the Spanish-American War. It's hard to know for certain what the fuck happened. Or it's kind of like the Gulf of Tonkin, Vietnam. If you believe the government, you know, we were being attacked by North Vietnamese torpedo boats. But if you believe anyone else, to include historians with any basic backing and evidence, they would tell you the whole thing was a false flag. September 1939. The Germans dress up a bunch of Germans to look like Polish soldiers and have those Polish soldiers attack a German radio station. This is an old story. This story goes back to the beginning like so many old stories. It's a worn-out chestnut, it's hoary as F, and the reason why is because it works. Because in those moments of pain and destruction, people's brains shut off. Sometimes, something can be so awful, so terrible, that people can't think past it. That's 9/11. That's the COVID. In many ways, that's just about every major social catastrophe in American history going back my lifetime and probably well before that. You serve up a plate of an emotional hydrogen bomb that nobody can possibly consume. You give them a ready-made villain that people need to accept because they have to go beyond it, because this life cannot be that terrible. How the fuck do buildings, steel frame buildings that have never burned that way, never collapsed that way, no building like that has ever faced that catastrophe in the history of steel frame buildings. That by itself is interesting. And the statistician will tell you, well, there's always a first time. But there was never a second, though. No steel frame building has ever failed the way that World Trade Center 1 and 2 failed, period. Ever. Before or after. So believe what you need to believe here. Open questions for people who need to ask those open questions, right? Boy, oh boy. What's one of the first big words you learn? And I think mom and dad are big words. I think probably when you're a kid, you learn mom and dad. Dogs, they learn cheese and bacon pretty quick. But what's the first big word, complicated word you ever learned? What was one of the first big ones? And remember, these words are not just big because they're long. They're big because they're impactful. They hit you in a certain kind of way. They have the complexity, the subtlety of a mixture of fear and anguish and dread, love and hate. Death, life, all mixed into them. These are big words. Pretty much all of the major emotions are connected to these words, and many of the permutations of smaller and more precise ones are. What's a big word that starts with an H and ends with a T? It has 9 letters made of 3 threes, 2 of which adds to 6. It gets repeated often and always and every fucking day almost. You get told it your whole life. My whole life, it was one of the first big words I learned, and then I kept relearning it over and over again. Even anachronistic references to this concept can be found in Little House on the Prairie. And the ones that live beyond the word, that escape the storytelling, they have numbers on their arms to remind us of the word. To remind you, remind me. Albert Speer approved of the word. The guy that rationalized the German economy starting in 1942. The guy that likely added 2 to 3 years to an overall war plan that was doomed to fail in 1943. Albert Speer must have approved of it, thought it made sense, economic sense. Sarcasm off. It's a word that's recursive. It references itself. It justifies itself. Suffering permits suffering. Death permits death. Hate breeds hate. It's a recursive word. It's a word that when you hear it used, you know it references something and something that will be. Because something will be done in its name over and over again. And at a certain point, you have a right to reject the word. Even if it were true at some point, you have a right to reject it because it is being used not as a means of healing or understanding. It's not being used to explain the world, to explain or understand history. The word is being used to spread pain. And that's why it is a recursive word, and it is a magical word. It is in many ways lesser magic, but black magic. It's a bad word because it means something terrible. And when it's used, it often means something terrible is about to, you know, fucking happen. So you can ask yourself what that word is. You can figure it out, baby. Oh, here's a good one. Rabbi Shmuley has officially endorsed Cardinal Pietro Parolin, the Secretary of State Cardinal, to be the next Pope. Rabbi Herpes, let's just say Herpes, Herpes is endorsing the next Pope. Herpes is endorsing the next Pope. I mean, yeah, you could say the next Pope, he could just wear a shirt that says endorsed by Herpes. Rabbi Shmuley, what a piece of shit. Anyways, he's clearly a representative of someone's culture. So this article comes from Wired magazine, and it was published on April the 22nd, 2025. It was written by Ryan Broderick, headline, 4chan is dead, it's toxic. Legacy is everywhere. I'm not going to read the whole article, but essentially the bits and pieces of it. Hey, when I was a kid, I used 4chan and I would, like, you know, post a lot of garbage and troll people. But then I found out that teenagers can be mean. And now all of a sudden, everyone's mean on social media. That's basically the whole article. When I read it last night, it read as a whiny, childish article written by somebody that never understood that eventually you have to grow up. 4chan was a message board, and it was a lot like Reddit in a way, except for it had fewer controls. If you've listened to my podcast, you know in 2022, briefly, I worked on a project to set something up with a friend of mine to do something similar. Never got any resources, don't have resources, barely have the money to pay rent. So no, I'm not at the age of 55 being sought after for startup money. But I've worked on the whole message board, you know, bulletin board scenario. It's kind of like social media, but without any overt controls. And you could say, well, Dan, wouldn't you be letting people who are criminals, blah, blah, blah. And you know what, folks? If you're going to base all your ethical decisions on the worst of humanity, you will have the worst society possible. If that's your plan. Like, if you're going to construct a society where you will pass a law against everything you think is bad, that society will become bad. Anyways, if you want to read the article about 4chan, you can. I think it's interesting because sites like this are low complexity, which is another way of saying that it's not an issue of can the site be made to work, and more importantly, can the site be made to deal with hackers. Frankly, the simpler your site is, the easier it is to manage that type of defense. I think this is a story about money. I think there is no money here. There was money. Probably the money came from the same people that funded Facebook and Google and you name it, everything else. And that money dried up because the experiment was over. And if you're a Bitcoin man, if you're crypto gal, if you're out there flipping and scripting cryptos, I'm going to let you on a little secret. The experiment that they have been doing with you is probably almost over also. But then I think much of this is intended to kind of be a simultaneous train wreck. So yeah, a lot of this stuff is kind of over. 4chan is over. 4chan was always going to be over. It was always intended as a social experiment, and every single social experiment ends. It is Wednesday, April the 23rd, 2025, Boblimpdoc. It's right around 7:34 a.m. here on the Olympic Peninsula. And I don't tell you, you know, the news is getting dumber and dumber every day. The reason for even doing a podcast is not even reasonable. There's this kind of creeping disease of madness and incompetence that's spreading. And people who are quote-unquote adults are acting like children. And children are being forced into a world that is untethered. And without the tools to be adults, it's becoming something of a gigantic broken social experiment. And the question is, what happens next? If you believe happiness and UFOs and robot futures are ahead, if you believe the Elon Musk story, that narrative, then everything's going to be okay. You got nothing to worry about. You can go on to whatever website you want to and shitpost. Yeah, you can't do it on 4chan, but there's probably an 8chan or a 12chan or a Charlie Chan out there. And you can shitpost there all day long until they shut that one down too. Have a great rest of your Wednesday.